Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at an article that is posted on PBS.org. It's titled Former Mormons, and it's an interview that Deborah Potter, who is listed as a contributing correspondent, had on a Sunday morning in Salt Lake City with many people who have left the Mormon Church, self-described post-Mormons, as they call themselves, and they met at a coffee shop, and as we mentioned yesterday, they felt that a coffee shop was a safe place to meet, because the likelihood of a family member or friend who is in the Mormon Church discovering them discussing issues of Mormonism that would not probably be considered too faith-promoting by most Latter-day Saint standards might get them in trouble. So in this interview, and the reason why we felt it important to discuss this is to give those of us who have never been a part of the Mormon system an understanding of what goes through the minds and hearts of many of those who have come to find out that the church that they have placed their trust in, the beliefs that they've had probably for all of their lives, are not true. And so yesterday we looked at some of the things that were being asked, and basically, as I said, this is a woman by the name of Deborah Potter, the contributing correspondent, asking some of these people that were at this meeting about some of the reasons why they decided to leave. Now, Potter makes an interesting comment in this interview. It says, "It's hard to know how many others have left. The church only tracks those who formally withdraw, and officials say that number is shrinking. But by some estimates," she says, 50,000 members or more drop out every year in the United States alone.
We're not sure where she got her number from, but if that were true, let's just assume it is, the church is growing by about 300,000 converts in the entire world per year, 50,000 leaving in the United States alone, let alone the other nations where people are leaving left and right. That's a significant number.
And we do know, and this has been tracked by a Mormon statistician, that a great majority of those who do convert to Mormonism outside of the United States will probably not be a member within a year. And that can be as high as 75%, according to one estimation. So definitely a lot of people are coming to realize that being a part of the Mormon Church, if you value truth, is a mistake. Now, some might say, well, those are all the people who just couldn't live up to our high standards. Let those go. They just aren't good enough to be a Mormon. Well, what does that really feed to? Their pride, which, hey, folks, if that's your attitude as a Latter-day Saint, you're automatically disqualified according to Alma 5, because if you've got pride, you're not prepared to die. But the point I want to make here is that there are a lot of people that are having doubts enough to the point that they leave the Mormon Church. Now, how many are getting their name officially off the rolls? We can't say for sure because the Mormon Church doesn't publicize those kind of numbers. I can't blame them, really. Who wants to talk about your failures in such a context? But certainly we know that many of them are coming out. I have never seen in all my years of ministry to the LDS people, I have never had so many emails or phone calls from struggling members wanting their questions answered. I can't recall anything like this.
Just the last few years.
Oh, it's been incredible. It's just been incredible. And I tell you, folks, it's an honor to be able to serve here in Utah during this time in history, to be able to talk to so many people that are struggling with their faith. We certainly want to be here to guide them into an Orthodox Christian type of environment. We do not want to see them go off into agnosticism. We do not want to see them go off into atheism, because personally, coming from our point of view, that's not really going to help them. We want to see them have a faith that is true and a faith that is vibrant. Now, they interview a professor, W. Paul Reeve, from the University of Utah. And he says something interesting here. He says, there is a sense that most people know someone in their own families or their congregations who are, you know, either living the faith or having serious questions or doubts or going through a faith crisis. That would seem to be inevitable, don't you think, Eric? I mean, there's so many of them now that obviously they must know someone who's going through this.
Well, in fact, just a few years ago, an official with the Mormon Church had stated that it was a crisis on the level of the Kirtland bank crisis from 1837.
And that's an interesting point that you bring up, because the very next paragraph in this article cites Deborah Potter, who was asking a lot of these questions. She makes the comment that church leaders insist there's no crisis in the faith, but they are taking the defection seriously. I read that and I thought, wait, that seems to fly in the face as to what Marlon Jensen said, and that's the reference you're making, when he was approached by a woman asking the question if the leaders were aware that members were leaving in droves. And he said yes. And that's when he gave that illustration of the Kirtland bank crisis. That was a pretty serious era in Mormon history. And to compare it to that, I thought was very telling. But yet she says here that church leaders are insisting there is no crisis in the faith. And that's kind of the picture you see painted in General Conference, don't you?
Yep.
Wasn't there a comment just recently made in General Conference that the church is doing great, better than it's ever done before? Talk about whistling past the graveyard. They've got some serious retention problems here. And it's not to say that there are a lot of professing Christians who lose their faith as well. We're not saying that that doesn't happen. But I think it could be said that the reasons are certainly going to be a little different in many of those cases. And the problem is, for many Latter-day Saints, as this article points out, it's Mormon history that is bothering many of them.
Well, and then Potter refers to Elder Marcus Nash. He calls him a top leader in the church, has shepherded the essay project. These are referring to the gospel topic essays. And he says that has drawn him closer to God. We want people to understand the history of this church. That's why these essays have been written. And as they are written in a transparent and honest way, I'm confident people will have the same kind of experience I've had, that your faith will deepen and you'll grow an understanding of how God works with ordinary people.
And I'm sure a lot of ex-Mormons or struggling Mormons look at that just for what it is. That is a public relations sales pitch.
Well, how did it draw him closer to God? Perhaps he had to have more blind faith to be able to accept this church.
How is understanding that Joseph Smith, your founding prophet, the man you describe as being the virtuous man, how can knowing that he was marrying behind his wife's back not only married women, but teenagers, how does that strengthen your faith? Unless you do exactly what we said earlier, you give Joseph Smith a pass. How does that help you? I can't understand that for the life of me. But you know what bothers me about this statement by Nash? That's why these essays have been written, as if, as we mentioned earlier, we're volunteering this, and yet we know for a fact that the only reason they are quote-unquote volunteering this information is because they have been forced to by the internet. They cannot stop the flood of information that is getting to the membership that was difficult in getting to them before.
A comment to that article at the end, this one respondent says, that darned internet and its free flow information. Well, somebody responded, a Mormon, and wrote this, and every time the false information is published, the free flow of answers back, it really is egregious. What will be put online about Mormons by the antis and exes? Are the disgruntled of other religions used as a main source of information, or only the church that was winning converts from the paid ministries?
That's a confusing statement, because most of the information that is concerning a lot of these Latter-day Saints is their own church's information.
Right.
The church is thinking by being so-called transparent on this in an honest way is going to help the hemorrhaging, but we're not seeing that, folks. I think one of the greatest blessings we have seen as a ministry are these gospel topics essays that the church is putting out, because now they are admitting what we have been saying for decades and have been called liars for saying.
Another Mormon writes, "You three above on your comments must be using Common Core math. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is next to the fastest growing church in the world, Muslims being the first. Those few that jump ship are free to do so. It is those few that rant and rave about how bad things were for them in the church. Sorry, but I know this, and that is Satan is gaining more and more souls, and it shows by the way the world is falling apart. I wish you the best and hope you find your happiness in what you say and do in this life. You can thank God for giving you your free agency."
Well, see, that goes back to what I said earlier about it's always something wrong with you there, people. Yep. You just can't live up to this. And I'm better than you type of an attitude. And that's tragic because in our experience, we have found that most of the time, people leave the Mormon church kicking and screaming. They don't want to leave the church. They love the Mormon church. They love the community in the Mormon church. But they just can't live a lie. They cannot defend Joseph Smith as a prophet of God, knowing his true behavior. And then, of course, a lot of that moves on into the theology problems. But we don't want to see them become atheists.
Yeah, we're asking the question, do you love Jesus but not Joseph? On October 10th of this year, in the Sandy, Utah area, we are going to be having a support group meeting, an initial meeting to be able to find out what the people in this area need who are struggling with their former Mormonism or maybe with their Mormonism. They're still in the Latter-day Saint Church. And so if you're somebody who would like to come to this meeting, we will tell you the time and the place. This is going to take place on October 10th. All you need to do is write us contact@mrm.org. If you write us, tell us briefly a little bit about yourself and why you'd like to come, and then we will get back to you. We will give you the information. We want to make this available to people who are struggling and need a support system.
And if you do have some sincere questions, we hope that we'll be able to help you with those, and it'll be good to just see others that are going through this. And I think towards the end of this article, it tends to show why something like this is needed. Deborah Potter, the one giving the interview, said, "Leaving is not easy, though. Being Mormon is a way of life as much as it is a religion, and a central tenet of the faith is that families are eternal. Many who walk away feel cut off from relatives who stay." And we've seen that many, many times. And then one of the people that was there says there's a real sense of demonization of the people who are not in the church, especially those who leave the church. This is why a lot of these individuals need someone to turn to. They need to be able to talk about this. And as part of our ministry here at MRM, we want to be able to help if we can in that kind of a capacity. Not only do we want to help those with information regarding what the church really believes, but we also want to explain what Christianity teaches and be there as a listening ear to those who are struggling and want to have a real close relationship with the Jesus of the Bible.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.